Good morning. We celebrate this morning the feast of our patron saint, St. Vincent de Paul, a man who learned to find Christ in the poor and learned what it means to serve. All of this came along rather lighter in life for him. He was converted some years after his ordination. It doesn't always happen, but sometimes people are converted. And he began to understand what it was that Christ was saying in the gospel by understanding the experience of the poor. Who are we as Christians? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? Well, for a short description, imagine a triangle with a circle drawn inside it. So you've got the circle, and then you've got the three sort of semi-triangular spaces that are partly curved and two straight lines. The circle in the center is the community. We are first and foremost part of the people of God. God does not act to save us as individuals, but gathers us together into a community with whom God makes a covenant. And that community is supported by two ministries and leads out into a third. These ministries are based on, evolved from, the old offices in the first covenant, the priest, and the prophet, and the king. The three roles that Jesus took on and transformed, we enter into. The priest and the prophet, talking about the ministry of word and sacrament. And these are the chocks under our wheel, if you will, that support our existence as a community. If we are not nourished by the Word, if we are not devouring the Word of God and looking to it for guidance, we're surely not a Christian community. And we're a community of sacrament. That's why thoughts about ministry reform are so important in the church in the next generation. Lest we cease to be a community of sacrament, gathering just for the Word or just for the Word in the distribution of communion. It's not enough on a week-to-week basis. We are a community of word and sacrament, not one or the other, but both. But those two, supporting the community, still leave it without a top, if you will, without a point, if you will, without a purpose. And that third ministry, to which everything points, is derived from the ministry of the King of Israel, David and Solomon and their successors. But Jesus radically redefines kingship in Israel. As we will hear in just a couple of weeks in Mark's Gospel, after hammering home the message for the three acts of the play we've been talking about, Jesus ends it all in Mark 10:45 saying, "Listen up, you turkeys, you know, can't you get anything straight? The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve." The ministry of kingship is not so much the ministry of reigning, but the ministry of service. And that's what it's supposed to be. Reminds me of a story my mother used to tell on one of her heroes, Queen Victoria. When she was celebrating the 50th jubilee of her reign, not her 50th birthday, but 50 years as queen, one of the things they did was to bring in the finest photographer in the empire. And he shot a portrait of her through a silk screen, you know, and he got it back to the lab, and he airbrushed it, and this and that. And the time he was finished and sent her the proof, she was drop-dead gorgeous. He expected at least knight commander, maybe baron, out of this. What he got back was a note on the proof that said, "My dear young man, the wrinkles in this face have been acquired in a half century of service to the British people. I'm therefore actually rather proud of them and would appreciate it if you would let them show, Victoria R." That's what kingship really is. Service. And without that service ministry, the whole rest of our definition of the church lacks a point. It lacks a purpose. God, after all, has not the slightest interest in building a church. God is building a world. It has been going on for some 13 billion years now, and God continues to work at it. And the church is a sign, a sacrament, a tool of what it is that God wants the world to be. It's a way of getting to this kingdom of justice and peace. Not a substitute for it. Not an enclave to run away from it. But a way of engaging the world to transform it into what God wants it to be. So without our service ministry that points outward, we're not doing anything that God wants us to do. We're not doing what we're here for. Vincent figured that out. He figured that out from his engagement with the poor. He'd gone into seminary as a way to get rich, frankly. His family was petite bourgeoisie. There weren't too many opportunities for social advancement. The priesthood was one of them. And he got ordained and got a job as an almoner, a professional alms distributor for a wealthy family, and lived the life of an attaché to a wealthy court. But then he became face to face with the poor, and he began to understand who they were, who Jesus was, who God was, what he was really supposed to do with his life. And he devoted his life thereafter to the service of the poor. So do we. So do we need to. So are we called to. This is what we're asked to do. Word and sacrament, the membership in the community, all of that is vital, no question. If we are not nourished on the word, if we are not nourished at the table, if we are not part of the community, we're out there by ourselves. We might just as well be individual do-gooders. We'll not get much done. But if we do all of that without the service, it's even worse. We've made all the preparations. It's like getting out your fancy clothes, getting washed and scrubbed and everything just so, and then not going to the party. Makes no sense. You only get dressed to go to the party. Get dressed. Go to the party. Serve. Our service comes, I think, in three different kinds of ways. It comes in different fields and different opportunities. The hungry, the thirsty, and so on and so on. But at three levels. And it's important, and St. Vincent gives us a good model for this, to work at all three levels. First of all, there's the individual response. This is surely the first place to start. This is the place where we meet the poor, where we begin to let them transform us as they transformed him. It's what happened to Abraham in that first reading. He sees the three strangers coming, trekking across a desert land in the hot part of the day. He has pitched his tent near the terebinth. That's a kind of tree, you know. He found the only tree around and pitched his tent there. Smart guy. They see the tree and they're heading in that direction. He jumps up and runs toward them to offer them the traditional hospitality. He serves them. They have no idea that this is a divine visitation and that he and his wife are about to be promised the birth of Yitzhak and the whole history of the Jewish people that will flow from that. He just does it because he sees them and they are obviously in need. We need to do the same. See people who are in need and meet their need. If the doorbell rings while I'm having lunch, I can always eat half my sandwich and give the other half to the poor person at the door. Somebody stops me on the street and says they need a sandwich, I can give them a buck or two to go get one. Well, I get cons sometimes, yeah. Do I do it, actually give the money rather than the food? Not often. Been conned too often. But I need at least to expose myself to it. And to do it sometimes when my gut tells me that maybe this one is for real. Actually interact with the poor and the thirsty and the naked and so on and so on. But it does have its limits. Am I giving my $2 to the right person? Will they use it properly? Or should I turn them down because I am being conned and conned and give it to the next person instead? And how am I supposed to know the difference? And, what are the efficiencies of individual poor people looking for individual benefactors? And how much does that take out of the system itself? If we organize this, we can do it a little better. Vincent realized that. Rather than just giving away his patron's money, he started organizing people to do things. He organized almshouses, think soup kitchens, flop houses. He organized hospitals. He organized schools. Organized a lot of things that people needed. Got institutions formed to do it. It's probably not terribly efficient for me to walk down the street waiting for somebody to tell me they need a sandwich. If we have a dinner here every Friday night, serve 250, 300 people, which is a lot more. Monday afternoon, when folks come for a bag of food, that reaches a lot more. Thursday morning, when men come for clothing, that reaches a lot more. By organizing the institutions of charity, as Vincent did, we can be more efficient, more effective in what we do. And yet we need to move one level beyond that too. And that's to the question of institutional reform. Why is it this way? We have some hungry folks here. There are whole countries where almost everybody is hungry except for the elite. Why is that? Why has our government, the other governments of the developed West, worked with the elite in those nations rather than their people? Why is it that our laws, for instance, have heavily subsidized our agriculture and made it impossible for indigenous agriculture to develop in the so-called developing world? We're actually making it harder for people to make a living raising food in their own countries. Is there something we can do to change that? That would make a lot bigger difference, even than what we can do as an institution. People are sick. One of the things we need to do. I was ill and you cared for me. I get it all the time at the door. Father, I need $5.50 to fill this prescription. I'll generally buy it, at least the first time. Doc comes back 3 days later with the same prescription. It's not going to work. My memory's not that short. But I'll generally buy it. But that's not a terribly efficient way of doing it either. We organize something like health care for the homeless. They can do a lot more. Building a building right up the street. Going to open in the spring. Several of our parishioners are a part of that organization and have worked to make that happen. We as a parish have had something to do with it. We help them get the site and help them get permission to build. Putting that institution in place will provide a lot more care, a lot more health for a lot more homeless than me filling an occasional prescription out of my pocket. And yet again, we move to the third level, the reform. What are we doing, you and I, individually, corporately, for health care reform? Wouldn't it make a lot more sense if we got a law passed that 47 million people in the United States who don't have health insurance could get it? Why should health care be divided between the haves and the have-nots? And the have-nots meaning people who work 40, 50, 60 hours a week but happen to work for an employer who doesn't provide health insurance. What's right about that system? Somehow it's got to change. If we change the system, we do more even than the institutions, more than we do as individuals. But all three are necessary. You can't just do this and forget these. You can't just do this and forget these. You can specialize. We have people who do the individual stuff. We have people who are very active in one community committee or another, one program or another around here at that institutional level. We have people who are leaders in the reform movement. But everybody needs to know that everybody else's level is important. St. Vincent's motto, St. Vincent's life, St. Vincent's model tells us that one without the other doesn't make it. Just like word and sacrament and community without service don't make it. We need all of that to be whole. Certainly we need all of that to be whole to call ourselves Christians. But particularly in a church named for a man who put his whole life on the line for that sort of thing. We ought to understand that. We ought to be leaders in helping other churches and other parts of the diocese and the administration as a whole understand that. Community of word, sacrament, and service. And service is the pointy end of the spear. It's what everything else leads us into. It's what God is trying to get out of us. And that service at individual level, at institutional level, at societal reform level, is an absolutely critical part of who we are, and an absolutely critical part, as Vincent himself very much discovered, of where we find the face of God. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.